This is The Takeaway. I'm John Huckenberry.
And I'm Adora Udoji, and we're going to be talking Oscars, right? Because not long ago, the biggest entertainment, of course, about Oscars, at least for some of us, was watching these big-budget studio movies duke it out for awards with these little, tiny, low-budget indie underdogs.
Titanic has the record for Oscars, right? It's the biggest budget of all time.
Oh, absolutely.
The world has changed. The world has changed.
But that's not so much anymore. Because so many of the movies that we're looking at in 2009 as potential Oscar winners are small.
Little pictures.
They're little stories. And the carpet blogger for the New York Times, David Carr, is joining us now from Los Angeles, where it's very early in the morning there. David is also a media and culture columnist and author of The Night of the Gun, a reporter who investigates the darkest story of his life. And he's here to talk about this year's Oscars. So there's not going to be any big lavish parties lobbying the Academy based on the movies that are facing the movies that have been nominated for an Oscar.
I think there's going to be a ton of lavish parties. There's always a ball market in ego out here. There are signs everywhere. When it comes to going for Oscar, financial reason doesn't usually come into play very often, and this year's no exception.
Well, let's talk about the movies that have been nominated for Best Picture. Frost Nixon, that's made $8 million at the box office. Milk, $20 million. The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, $103 million. The Reader, $7 million. And Slumdog Millionaire, $43 million. I wouldn't exactly call them big blockbusters.
Well, it's been a while since a bunch of big blockbusters fought it out. The theory is, and it's only a theory, is that if you go get that little statue in your hand, you can wander out into the marketplace and people will flock to see your picture, not only in the theater, but then your DVD will have huge value going forward. That's the theory.
But what does it say that the Academy picked so many movies that come from smaller production companies versus some of the blockbuster? Are they rewarding innovation, new ideas? What's happening?
I think this has been a trend. If you go back to Crash, where you have movies that maybe don't have the financial pedigree, but they've got significant artistic pedigree. This was a year where both big studios and independents who funded really good directors and then got out of the way, did very well. If you notice, all the best pictures were also matched by best directors. And then you have teeny tiny little movies like Frozen River and The Visitor, which many of your listeners probably haven't seen. They should, by the way, that were made for, you know, the kind of money that wouldn't pay the craft services budget on Batman and are in the thick of things. Melissa Leo got nominated for Frozen River, Richard Jenkins for The Visitor, and it's partly because they had wonderful directors who were allowed to execute what they wanted to do.
So, David, what would you call the Oscars this year? 2009 is the year of X, fill in the blank.
Oh, boy, that's tough. I think it was a bouncy year, actually, in terms of if you look at Button, if you look at Slumdog, even though they've got, you know, dark parts to them, they're fundamentally hopeful and light. I think the Academy's reacting to the times and saying, you know, let's look forward and maybe the sun's coming up.
The sun is coming up. David Carr, thank you for joining us.
Oh, an absolute pleasure to speak.
I like that. The sun is coming up. David Carr, the carpetbagger blogger for the New York Times, where he's also a media and culture columnist and author of The Night of the Gun, a reporter who investigates the darkest story of his life. And he was talking about the Oscars and all the low-budget Indian movies nominated this year.